Today's daf is Vachin daf Tzadi Vav. We're holding on the top of daf Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is first going to discuss why it is that we've been talking this whole time about if you have a Kli Cheres, that you had a Korban Chatos that was cooked in the Kli Cheres, so you have to break the Kli Cheres. Bimakom Kadosh, in the Azara that we discussed yesterday. But why do you have to break it? Why not just do Liban on the Kli Cheres? It will kasher it. Then you shouldn't need to break it. Second of all, we wanted to know that the Gemara is going to discuss, if cooking was only done in part of a kli, do you need to do mariku shtifa on the entire kli, or only on the part where the cooking was done? Meaning, we had such a din by a beged that you only do the kibus on the part that had the dam. So, would you say the same thing when cooking was done in part of a kli? And then the Gemara is going to explain. We have machlokas tanaim whether mariku shtifa is required in a kli that cooked kachim kalim or only in a kli that cooked kachim kachim. So, I'm explaining what that machlokas is about, and then the Gemara is going to tell us, well, certainly, if a kli cooked truma, it does not require mariku shtifa, but it does require hag'ala. Now, mariku shtifa and hag'ala sound like the same exact thing, so the Gemara is going to identify three potential differences between mariku shtifa on the one hand and hag'ala on the other hand. That there are requirements that have to be done by mariku shtifa that for regular kashering that we would do before Pesach or something would not be required. So let's see the Gemara here, Tzadi Vav Amud Aleph. So the Gemara explains whether you could be machshir kli sharis by liban. So it says Gemara, ela kadero shel mikdash, amai yishaveru, why is it that they would have to break a kli sharis in the base of mikdash that cooked karbanos in it? Now, drinu l'kivshonos, why don't you stick it back into the kivshon, and that way it would become kosher through liban? So the Gemara answers, amar b'zeru l'fi sheiros and kivshonos b'Yerushalayim, because we can't make kivshonos in Yerushalayim. A kivshon would cause a lot of smoke that's disrespectful to Yerushalayim. It would blacken all the walls. It would make it a very not pretty sight, and we don't want to make Yerushalayim into a not pretty sight. That's how Rashi explains, based on the Gemara and Baba Kama Daf Pei Beis. But l'chora, one could have asked, you know, so bring them outside of Yerushalayim, be malabin them outside of Yerushalayim, instead of just breaking them. So the Chemdas Daniel says that you're not allowed to bring them outside of Yerushalayim, because there are blios of karbanos in there. So it's going to become possible yotze if you bring it out of Yerushalayim. Why then does the Gemara say, ein osin kivshonos b'Yerushalayim? Just say, ein osin kivshonos but Azara, that you can't have kivshon in the Azara. No, because there's a machlokas that we learned yesterday, whether this is only true of kachim kachim or also of kachim kalim. Kachim kalim are allowed to go outside of the Azara. They just can't leave Yerushalayim. So we're covering all deos. That since you can't even make kivshonos in Yerushalayim, even if it's a pot that only had kachim kalim in it, you're going to have to break it rather than go and kasher it, because you can't bring it outside of Yerushalayim. Even the very shiloh, the very kasha the Gemara asked, why don't we just throw it into the kivshon, is a little bit difficult to understand. But pashtos, meaning the din of shvirus kli cheres, is not because there are blios in the kli that you need to remove from the kli. That was also what we did yesterday. The Gemara thought that, you know, if you have a kli cheres that's an oven, that you take the spit and it's in the airspace of the oven. What was the whole shayla of the Gemara? That you have bishul without blios, that there are no blios in the kli, and it still needed shvirus. So it's not about the blios. So what's the Gemara saying? Oh, I have an idea. You can do Liban and that will take care of the blios. We don't care about the blios. There's a separate din of Shviras Kli Cheres. So it's very hard to understand what the Gemara's whole kasha was. Rashi understands that the maskana of the Gemara previously was that a Kli Cheres that you cook in, that you cook basar carbon in, where it doesn't have any blios, does not require Shvira. So meaning, yeah, in Achinami we had that discussion, but the maskana is that it's all about the blios. So the din of Shviras Kli Cheres is not just stam exeris hakasif. It's because there are blios. So mainly you understand very well that the Gemara is saying, okay, there's another way to get rid of the blios. Tosos in Dibra Maschal Ella explains in the name of Rabbi Natam that by putting the kederos back into a kivshan, it's like a brand new kli. So therefore, that should patter from the Shvira in the first place. But Tosos says kashas and that doesn't like it so much, and therefore Tosos suggests a third potential explanation, that from the fact that the Torah says to be machshir kli nechoshes by mariku shtifa and kli cheres by breaking it and not by mariku shtifa, that tells us that only blios in a kli mateches would be yotze midei dofno, would actually emerge from the kli, but in a kli cheres the blios would never come out, and that's why you have to say that the tzad in the Gemara that requires shvira, even if there are no blios, is not stam exeris akasav without any explanation. It's because the pasuk is being machmir by a kli cheres to be machshiv the bishul as if it were balua. That's what the pasuk is teaching me. Treat it like a blia. Oh, good. I could treat it like a blia, and you know what happens when I treat it like a blia? You could do libun, and that would kasher it if you treat it like a blia. That was the whole kasha of the Gemara. So anyway, this is a major discussion. What exactly the Gemara was bothered by? Whatever the Gemara was bothered by, the answer is most interesting. That it's a kibshan, and you can't. And in order to do that, you would need to have a kibshan in Yerushalayim, and you cannot make a kibshan in Yerushalayim. The Rambam paskins this way in Hilchos Beis Abchir, for example, Dalit. So the poskim discuss: is this still shayich bizman hazeh? Meaning, this is clearly something that relates to the beauty of Yerushalayim. So would we say that there's still halachos about maintaining the beauty of Yerushalayim? Kedushas Yerushalayim? Kedushas Rishonim Rambam paskins kitchul shaytim kitchul lasalato. Kedusha is still there, right? Yerushalayim is Kadosh Midin Kedushas Migdash. The Kedushas Migdash, the Kedusha of the Makom HaMigdash is still there. And Yerushalayim has Tzvei Dinim in Kedusha. Salvech pointed out that if you look carefully, he has many rites. Not going to go through them right now. But there's Yerushalayim Mitzad Atzma being Kadosh. And then there's Yerushalayim Mitzad extension of Migdash. Eretz Yisrael also. There's Eretz Yisrael Mitzad Atzma. There's Eretz Yisrael, Trumas and Maestros and Shemitah and Yovel and all these things. But there's also a din of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That the carbon and the omer and shtei alechem has to come from grain grown in Eretz Yisrael. That's a din in Kedushas Migdash, because that's a connection to Migdash. But either way, Kedushas Yerushalayim seems to be there today. The question is, what about these halachas about beautifying Yerushalayim? Would you still have a din of beautifying Yerushalayim when you don't have Jewish control? Well, today, not talking about today, but when the poskim were talking about, when you don't have Jewish control of Yerushalayim. These things became further complicated in 1967. I mean, in a very happy way, but further complicated in 1967. Now, there is Jewish control of Yerushalayim. Is that enough? Do you still tear Kriya overseeing Yerushalayim b'Chorbana? Or what we were watching, is that called Yerushalayim b'Chorbana? Major discussion, the post can work on explaining why it is, although they all say that it is, except for one or two, that you still say Nachin. On Tisha B'Av, Nachin describes a destroyed Yerushalayim. If you read Nachin and you had to picture in your mind what Yerushalayim looks like, what the Yerushalayim they're describing, you know, that tefillah describing looks like, you would imagine a pile of ashes with some smoke coming up. You would not imagine restaurants and hotels and yeshivas and streets and highways. You would not imagine any of the things that we have there right now. So it's always tricky to figure out. So the Radvaz writes in the Chuvin Chel Pesim Tavre Shalom Gimel, the fact that you're not allowed to plant ginos and pardesim in Yerushalayim, and it's in Israel, saying in Nechreshes, it's because through that it's going to cause foul odor, and the Olei Regalim are going to not want to come from all over the place, because they're not going to have an enjoyable experience. So the Ravad is right. So nowadays, that it's all in the hands of Goyim, the whole reason doesn't apply, and therefore there's no issur making kivshanos either, because Adrabah, that should be ma'orer a certain sense of Chorban, which is a good thing. It's similar to the Mishnah Megillah tells us that when you have a basic Knesset that's Nechrev, you're not supposed to do the, you know, mow the lawn where the basic Knesset was destroyed. Let it become overgrown. Allow it to mipreag mas nefesh. People should see that there's a Chorban over here. So the Radvaz says, same is true with Yerushalayim. There's an interesting discussion in Poskim, what to do about the grass that grows from between the rocks of the Kotel. Can you cut it? If you do cut it, does it have Kedusha? Does it have to be disposed of in a special way? Interesting discussion in Poskim. So Rabbi Yashiv held not to cut it because Agmas Nefesh, meaning it Dafka should be Ma'orer since Agmas Nefesh. Others said, no, Dafka do cut it because, yeah, it's no longer, there's no longer a Mikdash behind it, but it's now it's a Beis HaKnesses, meaning the whole area has a din of a Beis HaKnesses, an active Beis HaKnesses, and you can't just allow overgrowing grass in a Beis HaKnesses. So it's a fascinating discussion. Rechim of Tukchinsky in Yerah Kodesh V'Amigdash says that even though the Rambam writes that all Tukonos Chamim are Kayamos, even when the Tam is Batel, he says, not this one. Whenever it comes to beautifying Eretz Yisrael, where we're beautifying Yerushalayim, he says that's no longer operative anymore. So that's the discussion that we have over here about these kivshonos. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta now. Abaye rejects the teretz of Rabbi Zeira, and the Gemara asks, Gemara Abaye, v'chi osin ashpasos pa'azara? Well, would you make an ashpa in the azara? I mean, you're telling me you can't break the kli cheres because you're not allowed, I mean, you can't put the kli cheres back into a kivshon because you can't make a kivshon in Yerushalayim. Well, if you break the kli cheres, you know where it goes? in the ashpa. Are you allowed to make an ashpa in the azara? Certainly not. You're not allowed to make an ashpa in the azara. And the assumption is because of Mora Mikdash, it's Mikdash Tirau. And just like you're not allowed to go into the Mikdash b'makalo b'pundaso, you're not allowed to make an ashpa in the azara. Now we had said previously, Shviras Klicharis has to be makom kadosh. Who says the ashpa has to be in the azara? Maybe sweep it up and get it out of there. So Tos Yishanim writes, and the Ritva also write that there was a Masora, the Gemara must have had a Masora, that after the Shvira, you're not allowed to remove it. Otherwise, the whole kasha is not a kasha. Or it could be that it's a bizoyin of kachim to take it outside of the azara, the broken parts of the klicharis that have tam chata still balua in their walls. So maybe removing them is considered to be a bizoyin of the kachim that used to be in there, a good kasha. But that's the assumption the Gemara must be having. So the Gemara is saying, is it possible? You can't make an ashpa anyway. Now, one could argue, but Shviras Klicharis is a mitzvah. So the Torah says you should break it b'makom kadosh. So you got to do the mitzvah, even if that's going to involve having an ashpa in the azara. Putting it back into the kivshan is not a mitzvah. The Torah doesn't say to do that. So in Okinawa, you would have been an eitzah had it not had any halachic pitfalls. But making a kivshan is a halachic pitfall, so mele it's not an eitzah. But a mitzvah, you're going to do the mitzvah even if it does have a halachic pitfall. So okay, that's a kasha that the Brisker Rav deals with. Okay, so anyway, so ishtamite had the Tani Shmaya bekalm nebo. Abaye had forgotten that which Shmaya had taught in a place called Kalmebo, that Shibrei Klicharis nevoan bimkomen. One of the miracles of the Beis Hamikdash was that the Shibrei Klicharis just got swallowed up by the ground, so it wasn't necessary to make an ashpa in the azara. Kivshonos, we have no such tradition that Kivshonos got swallowed up in the ground. Ella hada amar Rav Nachman. So Gemara asks further, if you could be malabein a klicheres, why didn't they just make tanurim out of cheres? Ella hada amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Aravua. Meaning this is all working off the last thing we said in yesterday's daf, which is that libun is possible by a klicheres, at least from within it's possible. So ella hada amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Aravua. Tanur shel mikdash shel mateches havu, that the tanur of the base of mikdash was made out of metal. Why? Navid cheres. Why not make it out of cheres? Teseko mi bifnimu. Because after all, the way a tanur gets fired up is from the inside. And we just said at the end of yesterday's daf that when you fire something up from the inside, it kashes it out. It's only from the outside that it's not going to kasher it. So it says, Kivan dika shtei alecha b'lechem apanim, daf yasin b'tanur, kedushasin b'tanur, havelei klisharis, and klisharis b'cheres, lo avdina. No, because we have to worry about the fact that shtei alechem and shavuos and alechem apanim of every single week was baked in the oven, and therefore that oven became a klisharis. And the halach is, a klisharis is never made out of cheres. That's why the ovens had to be made out of metal. V'afil Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that a klisharis does not have to be made out of metal. Lo kamar al de'etz. He only allows making klisharis out of wood, aval de'cheres lo. But he would never allow making a klisharis out of cheres, because it's based on the drasha, the Gemara in Menachos and the Gemara in Sukkah, Darshans. It's a ribui miu. The pasuk says, "Vasisa menoras zahav tahar mikshat teoseh hamenorah." So we say, "Vasisa menoras." That's a ribui. You're making a menorah, which is a klisharis, out of anything. It's just menoras. Zahav tahar. That's about as narrow as you can make it. That's an absolute miut. That it can only be made out of pure gold, and that's true of the menorah, not of the other clay matzkos. And then it says, "Mikshat teoseh hamenorah." Chazer v'riba. So you can make it out of apparently anything. So riba, mi riba, riba kol. But the miur of Zav Tar tells me that it's mimayi klicharis, which you can't make klisharis out of. That's the limud that we have, why it is that it only includes kliates. Even it includes other metals, includes kliates, but does not include klicharis. So klisharis can certainly not be made out of cheres. So says Gemara Vayta now. Rizk bar Yehuda v'ragel kamei d'Rami bar Chama. Rizk bar Yehuda used to learn by Rami bar Chama. A wild story the Gemara is going to tell. And the reason we're telling the story is just to demonstrate that the issue of whether you need Murik Ushtif on an entire Kli or not. But here's the story the Gemara tells us. The Rizk bar Yehuda was learning in Rami bar Chama's yeshiva. Shafkei, and he left the yeshiva, he left the shir, he went to a different different shir. He went instead to learn by Rav Sheshes. So as happens sometimes, you leave the Rabbi's yeshiva, you leave the Rabbi's shir. He gets insulted sometimes. Hopefully it's all Hashem Shemayim, it's because he thinks that this is what's best for you at this time, and maybe you're misguided or whatever. But sometimes it could be that someone gets insulted. Yom Echad Pagabe, one day Rav Merchama runs into Rav Yitzchak Amalei. So Rav Merchama says to Rav Yitzchak, Al Kafta Naktan Recha Asilaliyat. That you've, it's a mashal, he's saying that, like you're a Balgaiva, that you're trying to put yourself in the position of Gedolim. But it means that the you grab my hand and the reich of malchus now is you could smell the reich of malchus on the hand that was grabbed by the king, right? You could like smell the reich of his malchus. So it's saying like you think like you need to connect to this great gadol, and that makes you a great gadol because you're going to connect to Rav Sheshes. Why? Mishum dezaltu lach lekamed Rav Sheshes, havis lach ki Rav Sheshes. You think you're going to go learn by Rav Sheshes? It means you're going to be Rav Sheshes. I'm late, lot. He says, no, you're not getting, that's not why I'm left. Mishum lav mishum hachi. Rather than lav, it's not, that's not why I'm left. Mishum hachi, the real reason I left is the following. Mar ki bein milsa pashali misvara. If I would ask you, you'd think about it, you give me a svara whenever I ask you a question. A svara, okay, I could argue. Ki mashkach la masnisa parchala. If I found the price against your svara, so then I proved your svara wrong, and that was it. Rav Sheshes ki bein milsa minei pashali misnisa. Shesha is always, he's able to document, he's able to show me a raya, he's able to, you know, to bring me a proof. So even if I find another brisa against him, masnisa masnisi, so then it's a stira between two brises. So there you have it. So that's why I went to Rav Shesha, he's able to document everything he says to me. So Amar Lei, boy, me know, milsa dispashat gulach ki masnisa. Ask me anything, I'll bring you something that you'll see, you'll be able to find it in a brisa. You think I'm not going to be able to do the same thing? So before we get into what the actual conversation is and what he actually asks him, which is the reason we're bringing this this entire story, the Sefer Chassidim writes that the expounding on the pasuk in Eishes Chayil, Haisa ka'aniyos socher, ka'aniya ein ksivkan el ka'aniyos, shekol tam chacham sheinu yodea lahashav b'kol machom sheishaleu, Einu ro'u ileishu b'sanhedrin rosh yeshiva. That ha'isa ka'anios socher means that you have to be like a socher, like a merchant of everything. They have to know from all over the place. Mi merchak tavi lachma, she'odea lavi raya, mi mesechta l'mesechta. You have to be able to bring a raya from one mesechta to another mesechta. V'takam bi'olayla, and la'yichba b'layla neira, kalalayla yoshev el'sik b'torah. A person should be learning Torah all night. So you see, that being a baki in multiple mesechtas, to be able to document a proof, that's what Sefer Chassidim highlights. The Chidah in Bris Olam says that based on Yerushalmi in the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, in Nimrim Nechemia, the same drasha, that's what the Sefer Chassidim is based on. It has a very similar drasha. And our Gemara certainly highlights this idea, that I want to be able to ask a Rebbe a question who's going to be able to bring me a raya from a Bekiyas. He's going to know something and not just have a clear mind where he's going to be able to give a svara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Beis, tells us, Amar Vach Bar Chanina, Amar Vasi Amar B'yochan, V'mi Atamotei Melchamta Shal Torah, V'mi Sheyesh B'yodo Chavilos Shal Mishnah. Where can you have a true Melchamta Shal Torah? Who is equipped for a true Melchamta Shal Torah? Someone who has Chavilos Shal Mishnah. Sometimes people get so caught up in learning, be'il in a certain small segment of the Masechta, or a certain small that they don't get to see the big picture, and a lot of the svaras that you say, unless you've seen the whole Masechta, you don't even realize it's against the Beferish Mishnah. It's the old Arba Avos joke, or Arba Avos. I thought there were three Avos, not four Avos, and they spend an hour on trying to figure out. Oh, Nezikin, Arba Avos Nezikin, right? But yeah, you need right. So the joke is that in certain yeshivas they say, no, that's for Bekiyas Seder. We still have to work on one Arba Avos. Okay, but the person has to have a certain base of knowledge. It is very fascinating. There's a tshuva in the Rav Pa'alim, not a tshuva, the Hakdama to the Rav Pa'alim. Rav Pa'alim, a major Sephardic posek, where he says, this is why, with all due respect to the Ashkenazi rabbis, the Sephardim are right. He says, the Derech HaPsak of Sephardim is to find everything that was ever written by anybody on the topic. And then, because he says, no matter how smart you are, you're not going to think of every angle. You're not going to think of every svara. You're not going to think of it. So the Derech HaPsak, I mean, you think Rav Avadia Yosef versus the great Ashkenazi poskim. Rav Moshe doesn't do what Rav Avadi Yosef did. Didn't do what Rav Avadi Yosef did. That wasn't his style. That wasn't what his derech hapsak. What did Rav Moshe do? He learned the sugya. He, achronim, Rav Kiveger, Nediu, the Chassam Sofer, Pribgadim. Not much more. Rav Avadi Yosef will tell you what his next door neighbor said. What is this one said? Everybody, shaking everything out. So the Rav Pablo says, all the respect to the Ashkenazi rabbis, Sfarim have it right, because we're able to see everything that's out there. You have to be able to see as much material as possible. One could make the argument that no, you have to learn a sugya, and you learn the sugya properly, and then you're able to make a proper judgment by learning through things properly. I do think it's unfair that people criticize Rav Avadi Yosef for just taking all of the opinions and then just counting them up, counting shittos. Oh, there are 52 that say this way, 46 that say that way. It must be this. That's not what he does. He does try to. He learns the sugya also, and he tries to see which one is more logical. But he sometimes he'll rig it. Like, he can check out as many marmkos as he wants, but he'll make it a 52-46 vote in the way in favor of the what he wants to pass. And like, okay, I don't think he was just done doing that. Okay, but set back in the Gemara over here. So. Ask me anything and I'll be able to be poshed it, and you'll see that there's a brisa that will go just like me. So he asked him the following shayla. When you only cooked the kachim in part of the kli, not in the entire kli, does it require mriko shtifa or not? So he said, it's just like when dam chatos gets splashed on a beged, you only need to do kibos on part of the beged, you only need mriko shtifa on part of the kli. But the brisa doesn't say that way. So amalei mistavra ki beged ma beged inotan kibos al makom adam af kli inotan mriko shtifa al makom adam. He says, but it's mistaver that it's like a beged, and the Mishnah says that just like a beged only needs kibos in the makom adam, so two kli should only require mriko shtifa in that makom. Now, from the fact that he says that bishul b'mitzvah is not mechayev mriko shtifa in the entire kli, it sounds like the blia that's mechayev mriko shtifa, the blia is what's mechayev mriko shtifa, not the bishul. Because if it's the bishul that's mechayev mriko shtifa, how can you be mechayev between different parts of the kli? The entire kli did the bishul. The blios may be different. But Rami Bar Chama raised the subject himself by you roast the shvur with chatos and the avir of the tamar that gets cooked in, but not nivlabo, does it require mriko shtifa or not? So he's not sure about that. So the Kachi Dabani says that if you cook in part of the kli, the rest of the kli doesn't actually help in the bishul, and it's as if it's not there. So it would not require mriko shtifa. By the avir of the tanur, the way tanur works is heat. And the heat is enhanced by every bit of the oven containing the heat. So that's why the avir of the tanur was different. Okay, so Rav Yitzchak rejects the raya of Rav Barcham and he brings a braisa. Amrli, so Rav Yitzchak says, Rav Barcham, me dummy, you can compare blood that's sprinkled on a beged to a kli that had part of the kli cooking. Dam lo mefapea, bishul mefapea. Dam that sprinkles on a beged stays where it lands. Bishul in a kli spreads. Va'otanya, plus we have a braisa that says like me, that even if you cook in part of the kli, the entire kli should require mriko shtifa, because the braisa goes through the chumrei dinim that you have on kibus ha-beged and the chumrei dinim that you have on mriko shtifa. And what does it say? Chom ha-bazami mriko shtifa. There are certain details of the din of kibus of a beged over chumras of mriko shtifa and chum mriko shtifa mbazah. And some chumras work in the other direction. What are they? Chom ha-bazah sha-zah yeshu b'chatos ha-chitzonos b'chatos ha-pnimios. The azah, the din of kibus applies whether it's the chatos that where you throw the dam b'fnim or whether you throw the dam b'chutz. The yesh nilufnei zrika, and if the blood splashes on the beged before the zrika sadam, it's still going to require kibbles. Mashen ken mriko shtifa, as opposed to by mriko shtifa, that it only applies when you cook meat of karbanos that get eaten. Chatos apnimios don't get eaten. So the whole din mriko shtifa doesn't apply to chatos apnimios, only chatos hachitonios. Or you cook the basar before the dam of the carbon was nizrak, where it's not yet roi lachila, it would also not require mriko shtifa. chomer rikushtif. On the flip side, rikushtif has certain chumras. Sham rikushtif and ohedis meim kachkachim meim kachim kalim. Rikushtif applies to both kachkachim and kachim kalim. Bishol the mitzakli and rikushtif of bishol mitzakli. Ton Mariko Shtifa Kola Kli Mashenkin Bazab Ferush. The entire Kli requires Mariko Shtifa as opposed to by the Azan. The Beged, you only need to wash that part of the Beged. Samalay, Itani. So he says, okay, checkmate, you got me. If it's a Brisa, it's a Brisa. Vetaimamai, and why is it that if you're cooking part of the Kli, you need Mariko Shtifa on the entire Kli? Amarkra, because the Pasuk says, V'im B'Kli Nechoshes Bushala, Va'afilu B'Miktas Kli. So we darshan, even if it's in part of a kli, the Torah Tumim explains that we're medayik from the Shinoi Lashon, that by a kli cheres it says ukli cheres asher tevush al bo, by a kli nechoshes it says ve'im b'kli nechoshes bushala. It doesn't say b'kli nechoshes asher tevush al bo. So that's telling me that even bishul b'miktas kli is going to be mechayv mriku shtifa as if it happened in the entire kli. Now a kasha that the Achronim ask over here is that we said before that the reason that the entire kli requires mriku shtifa is because the bishul is mefapeya umespashet, that it, when you're cooking it, the tam spreads throughout the entire kli. So why does the Gemara have to ask my taima? We already said the taima. We already gave the reason, right? The Gemara over here saying, taima am I? Oh, because of pasuk. You mean, taima am I? Very logical that if the tam is spreading throughout the kli, so you're going to need to kasher out the entire kli. So the Tzon Kachem suggests that the Gemara's kasher was, why do you need marika and shtifa? Meaning, granted, the part where you cooked, so that's going to have the most intense tam in that section where you cooked. But anywhere that goes beyond that spot where you cooked, anywhere that goes outside of that spot where you cooked, it's going to be a much weaker tam. So maybe you don't need both marika and shtifa in the other parts, just one or the other. Maybe that's the Gemara's kasha. The Zera Yitzchak suggests that the Gemara's kasha is that you shouldn't require marika shtifa except for the place where you cook, because in the rest of the kli, we should say kipolo kachpolto. Meaning the number one rule of kasher and kelim is, however the tam got in there, that's how it's going to get out. So just like you only cooked in part of the kli, and yes, the tam was in the spashin entirely, so kasher that part of the kli, and the kashering will equally extend to the rest of the kli. Kashering is just using cooked water, right? It's the same mechanism. So that's the kasha of the Gemara, but no, gzeiros hakasuv. Okay, now we go on. Echad kachi kachim. The Mishnah had said that according to the Tanakhama, both kachi kachim and kachim kalim require mariku shtifa. Rabbi Shimon says kachim kalim do not require mariku shtifa. So the Gemara explains each shita. Tan Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Chatos, ein li yad chatos. I would only know that a kavod chatos requires mariku shtifa. How do I know other kachim as well? Tamadomar kodesh kadoshim he, that even kachim kalim require mariku shtifa. Yochel sheni marbes a truma. So I might think that even if you cook truma in a pot, it requires mariku shtifa. Tamadomar osa prat le truma div Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Kachim tunim riku shtifa. Kachim kalim einam tunim riku shtifa. Only kachim, not kachim kalim. Dichsev kodesh kadashim. Kachim in kachim kalim lo. Right? The words sound that way. Kodesh kadashim. We darshan means only kachim, not kachim kalim. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda use the phrase kodesh kadashim to tell me that kachim kalim do not require riku shtifa? From the fact that the Torah had to write the word osa to tell me that truma doesn't require mariku shtifa, sounds like anything higher than truma does require mariku shtifa. Machal de kachim kalim tuna mariku shtifa. So says Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Amalach, and Rabbi Shimon would tell you, yeah, the fact that the Torah says kodesh kadashim is telling me, but kachim kalim does not require mariku shtifa, and therefore in a chinami, truma obviously doesn't require mariku shtifa. Why do I need a pasuk osa? Osa k'da amrinan. Osa is tells me like Rabbi Shimon Darshan's on Daf Tzadi Gimel that if some of the dam chata sprinkles gets splashed, it's cut and it was kosher and it's dam that was kosher but has become pasul. There's no din kibus. We learned from Osa that kibus only applies with kosher dam, not with non kosher dam. Saying Ochinavi, Osa does not come to be my truma, Kodesh Kadashim already comes to tell me anything below Kachay Kachim doesn't require Mariku Shtifa. Says Gemara, okay, but one thing they all agreed on is that if a pot cooked Truma, you don't need Mariku Shtifa. Says Gemara, Truma Labai Shtifa Marika, is that true that Truma does not require Mariku Shtifa? Vahatanya, but we have a Brisa, Kedera Shabishwa Basul Vash Bachal. If you have a pot that you cook meat in, you don't cook milk in that pot. V'imbishalini, if you do cook milk in that pot, no same time, you have to see if there's tam in the chalav, in the basar. And truma lo yivashal b'chulin, more no get to us, a kedera that you cook truma in, you can't cook chulin in, v'imbishal b'no same time. And if you did, you have to, the kohen has to taste it. And if he tastes that there's a peros of truma in there, then it's asr for zarin. So you see that even by bishal truma, you need to kasher a kli to get all the blios out of the kli. So how can you tell me it doesn't require Mariku Shtifa? So the Gemara in the question is assuming that they're the same exact thing. That Hagalah, Mariku Shtifa are exactly the same thing. And we're, as if we're saying, you don't need to do Hagalah for Truma. So Gemara says, well, of course you need to do Hagalah for Truma. So the Gemara has three answers. That these are, in fact, two totally different things. Mariku Shtifa and Hagalah are two totally separate things. Answer number one, Amar Abaye, Lo Tzricha, Elo Lada Amar Mar, Bishal B'miksas Kli, Ton Mariku Shtifa, Kalakli, Hatruma lo tzarich ela makom bishul. A big difference that when it comes to if you cook in part of a kli, by kachim you require mariku shtifa in the entire kli, but by truma where it's excluded from the din mariku shtifa, you only have to do agala on the part that was boleya. You don't have to do agala on the entire kli. Right? A lot of times people get confused between agala and tevila. They think like tevila, just like in a mikvah, it's got to be totally immersed in the mikvah. If somehow you could ascertain that they're only blios in part of a kli, then you only have to kasher that part of a kli. How would you ascertain that? Let's say you have a long, long kli. It doesn't fit entirely into any pot, right? So you can do kasher half of it. That half is now kashered. So now I know that that half doesn't have blios anymore. Only the other half has blios. Yes, and you can kasher the other half without worrying about that half anymore. Second teretz of what the difference is between Hagala and Mariku Shtifa. Rav Amar lo tzricha elo lada amar mar. B'mayim v'lo b'yayin. B'mayim v'lo b'mazug. Ha'afilu b'yayin v'afilu b'mazug. That he says that when it comes to the pasuk of Mariku Shtifa, we darshin that it's only with water. You can't do Mariku Shtifa with wine. You can't do Mariku Shtifa even with diluted wine, even with mazuk. But it sounds like when there's tam of truma and you need to do hagalah, that hagalah could be done with shar mashkin. It happens to be the chavchilu, we don't do that. You know, sometimes in a factory setting where it's impossible to do otherwise, kashrus organizations will rely on hagalah b'shar mashkin, because sometimes that's what the machine is made to produce. It's made to produce apple juice or oil or whatever, so that, you know, that they'll rely on that as the hagalah. We try not to rely on that lechatchila, but that is Rava's teretz. Rab bar ula amar lo tzricha ela lida amar mar. The brisa doesn't need to be mema'it truma from mariku shtifa, except for the din that we're going to say by mariku shtifa, the mariku shtifa b'tzonein ha afil b'chamin. Mariku shtifa requires, after you do the boiling water thing, you then rinse it in cold water. Whereas Hag'alah is just pure hot water, no cold water. Says Mar Hani Chalamadiyam Mariku Shtifa B'tzonin. That works out very well if you hold that there's such a din, Mariku Shtifa, using cold water at the end. Almadiyamar Marika B'chamin Ushtifa B'tzonin. But if you hold Marika is only with Chamin Shtifa B'tzonin, Maik Lameimar. In what way is Truma any different? That it doesn't require Mariku Shtifa. Meaning, Truma also requires Hag'alah B'chamin and Lechora Shtifa B'tzonin afterwards. Says Mar Shtifa Yasirta. Kelim that require Mariku Shtifa, you need a Shtifa B'tzonin after the Hagala B'chamin, but Truma doesn't require Shtifa B'tzonin after the Hagala B'chamin. So this is a major discussion. The Gemara seems to be pretty explicit that you don't need to rinse Kelim in cold water after you do Hagala on those Kelim. That is true la halacha as far as what's required. However, the Gaonim in Shari Tshuva and some Reish Chayes quotes from the Gaonim that after your Magila Kli B'mayim Chamin, you're supposed to rinse it in cold water. And he writes, B'shem Rashi, so that the Mayim Arotchim are not going to get back into the Kli, the Blios of the hot water that now have the Trefatam on it, aren't going to go back into
into the kli, so it's like you rinse it off right away. The Rush in the fifth parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah says that if the reason is that the hot water with the blios doesn't get back into the kli, it would have to be mamish immediate, and that's impossible. There's no way to do it that way. So he says no. The reason is based on our sugya by kachim that since after agali you have to do an extra shtifa, so by truma apparently one shtifa is good enough. By kachim you need two shtifas. Meaning he understands our gemara saying that by kachim you need to rinse it in cold water twice, and by truma you only need to rinse in cold water once. So we do that, the rinsing in cold water once. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Vav Aleph says that we don't know the reason why there is such a minhag to rinse in cold water after the Hagalah. And he says some say based on our sugya that your shotif betzonin the kachim with shtifos, exactly like we just said. But another reason is suggested by the kolbo that shtifa is in order to rinse off whatever plata is remaining on the kli itself. That's what the Meiri writes as well. That on the surface of the kli, meaning you put in that water, the tam comes out. And now where is it? So it's like sitting on the surface of the kli. So we wash it off of the surface of the kli. Now, if that's the case, it's lav dafka rinsing in cold water. You could rub it off with a towel or something like that. Anyway, lemaisa, this is what we pass. Now, Halacha, Shulchan Aruch says, the minig is that you're shotef a kli b'mayim karim after the agala immediately, and the Birakra points you to our sugya, and he says that that's the way we're supposed to do it. So that's what we do l'chadchila. Certainly everyone agrees with the other that if you don't do that, it's still going to be a valid heksher kelim. Okay, we'll stop there.